Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Well, has he provided for you?
Yeah.
Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. How he's provided for you. Amen. Is it good to be here today?
Yeah.
Tell the other person beside you about it. It's good to be here today. It's good to be here today. Amen. Amen. Excuse me. You know, the Lord is preparing his people. How many of you feel like you're being prepared? You're being prepared for something. It's around the corner. You can't see it. You don't even know what it is. God sees it. God knows what it is. And he's preparing you and I for it. Oh, I love that about God. He gives us his grace to empower us to be able to do what he wants us to do. He don't get us to try to work it up ourselves. He empowers us with his grace to do it. Well, last week we had the first campaign session, and it was about You Matter to God. It was a great, great session. And I've heard some great reports about it. I heard reports, some people were saying it's urging me to walk closer to God, to walk with him in a closer way than I have been. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. If somebody brings you water, you make sure you take a sip. Otherwise, all right, y'all ready? Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. Very sweet. But you matter to God. And we learned that God created you for him to love. He created you and I for him to love. Oh, it's good. That's the reason you matter to God. The second session is coming up this week, starts today. And it's that one is about you were planned for God's pleasure. So, he created you for him to love, and now he's going to let you know that he also created you and I to love him. And that's worship. He wants us to learn how to worship, not go through the motions of different things without a heart. He wants our heart to be engaged in our love for him, not lip service, but heart. All of our hearts. Say all of our hearts. So that starts up, and it's still time to sign up if you haven't signed up to be a part of that. And we also do it on Wednesday nights as well. But looking forward to it. And never mind. I can get it. A mint. Preacher was preaching. He's trying to starting out preaching, and he's preaching too long. And I told him, "Look, you're preaching too long. Well, I don't know that I can stop." He said, "Well, you need to understand. You can't go this long with all these people." And they said, "Here's what you do: put this mint in your mouth when you start. When the mint dissolves, end the message. End the message." So he did that, and then next thing you know, he started preaching, and it went 30 minutes, it went 45 minutes, it went an hour, it went an hour and a half. And then he ended. The deacons went to him and said, what happened? We told you to get a mint. He said, I understand, and it worked out for a couple of Sundays. He said, but I had a button in my mouth. It wasn't going to dissolve. Amen, amen. We're going to finish. We're not going to finish. We're going to start again in what we were talking about a concerning the prodigal son. Last week we talked about three journeys of the son and away from God, and then trying to fix it himself was the second one, and finally he started coming back home. But you remember from the very beginning that Jesus was talking to two different groups of people. As at the first of the chapter, he was talking to two different groups of people. One group was tax collectors and sinners. And they came to hear what Jesus had to say. The other group was Pharisees and scribes. They came to criticize, accuse, and belittle. That's the two groups that he's talking to when he starts. He gives three parables, and the third one is the parable of the prodigal son. But the first parable that he talked about was 100 sheep and one was lost. Second parable was there were 10 silver coins and one was lost. The third parable was two sons and one was lost. You see that it goes from 100 to 10 and down to two. So it's an intensity of losing something begins to be bigger and bigger. You know, so he's talking to these two groups of people, and you have to understand that when we say tax collectors, it's not the IRS. You got me? He's not talking about the IRS. The tax collectors in that day were Jews that were employed by the Roman government to go get the taxes. And for the Jewish people, that was a disgrace. And they felt like the Jewish people thought they're traitors. Here they are collecting money from us for the Jewish cause. I mean, for the Roman cause and not for the Jewish cause. So they were people that Jewish people didn't like them. They just about despised them. So here's a despised group of people and sinners wanting to hear what Jesus had to say. And here's the religious folk, but they didn't come to really listen to him. They came to criticize him. And the Bible said they grumbled. Criticize and accuse and grumble. So that's the preface of how this parable is being told. We talked about last week that he demanded his inheritance. He made a demand on it. It wasn't time for him to get his inheritance, this younger son. This is over in Luke 15. And he traveled to a foreign country. He traveled to the Gentiles. And he went afar off. He went way off in a foreign land, intending not to come back. And while he was there, he got into more prodigal living. In other words, he didn't have any restraints. He just did what he wanted, how he wanted, when he wanted, and to whom he wanted. So that's what the word prodigal means. I told you that last week, that without restraint. So that's how he's living. He gave himself out to hire to a Gentile to be able to fix the problem. I know what I'll do. I'll get hired and make some money and I'll get out of this. But it only got worse. He went from the bad shape that was in because he had already lost everything. Everybody say everything. He lost everything that he took. Because he said he took all of his money and all the belongings that he had and took it with him, and he lost it all. He hired himself out to try to fix the situation only to feed pigs. And not just feed the pigs, but to eat with them. Very disgusting thing for a Jewish person to do, to be around pigs. So there he is at that place. And he decides on his third journey, I'm going to go to my father. And you know, we talked last week about the three things that happened with him that's got to happen to us. We've got to be honest with yourself. Number two, honest with others. Number three, honest with God. If you're not going to be honest with yourself, you're not going to be honest with God. If you're not going to be honest with others, you're not going to be honest with God. We talked about thing about children hold it behind their back, and we can't do that with God, because where did we say he was? He's behind her back, too. He's back here, too. So he sees it all. So we had that last week. And this week, I want to go back to Luke chapter 15 and verse 17. It said, he came to himself, his heart arrived. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father. That's his third journey. That's the journey that we need to take. I will arise and go back to my father. And he rehearsed what he was going to say. He said three things that he's going to say. So he's getting his speech ready. He's getting his heart ready. He's getting ready to open up to the Lord. Not to the Lord, but to his father. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven. That means against God. I have sinned against heaven and before you. Number two, I am no longer worthy. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I am undeserving. I am unfit to be called your son. So he's at a place to where he understands where he's been. He understands what he's done. He understands what he needs to do. And when he does go back, he's ready to do what? What's the third thing he says? Second thing is, I'm unworthy to be a son. Don't call me a son. He said, make me like one of your hired servants. So that's where he's being honest with other people. They're going to know that it's him. And he'll have to explain to them why he's there. So you begin to see this. Humility has come. Brokenness has come. Repentance has come. The greed has left, the entitlement has left, and the pride has left. Boy, I tell you what, that is a good thing to understand. Understand about ourselves that we have been all of this, we've done this, and for us, even as being Christians, we can still have a prodigal thing in our life that we're not willing to give God. Not willing to open up completely to God. So he said, I'm going to take this third journey. So let's look at verse 20 together. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. How far away is he? A great way off. His father saw him, and he had compassion, and he ran, and he fell on his neck of the son and kissed him. So you begin to see these 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things that he did just in that one thing of seeing him. So he said, I beheld my son. He beheld. No, not just he looked, he beheld. He said, that's my son. He beheld his son coming. He was beholding his younger son coming back afar off. That tells us that the father has been what? Say it out loud. Looking for him. It's been a while, but the father is still what? Looking for him, still looking for his return. Even at the very moment when he rounded the corner of whenever it was coming down the road, at that moment he was looking. Because he said he saw him not close by, he saw him from afar off. So here it is, he's looking for his son, and he's looking at that very moment. And he said he had compassion, that's the seat of love. In other words, he was moved with pity. He had pity. This pity that he was having was that's my son, and he's been gone for so long, and I miss him. So he had pity on. See, this thing about the pity that he had here compels action. You know, the Bible says that if you see somebody that is poor and needs a cup of water, what should you do? Pray for him, bless him. No, you can pray for him. Give him the water. See, that compassion is a pity that compels you to do something, compels you to take action. And that was the father. His compassion was compelling him to take action. What was the action that he did? He ran. Oh, man, he ran. Back then, the men couldn't run in public. It was a shame for them to run. They need to walk gracefully. But he ran. This is the father running, knowing that it's a shame for him to run in public. And here's the other reason why. Because they wore these tunics. And if you're going to run in a tunic, in a robe, what you going to do? You're going to hike it up. You're going to hike it up so you don't trip when you run. And it was a shame for men to expose their bare legs in public. Oh, now you begin to see that the tradition, that it wasn't the fact that he couldn't run. No, he ran, but he didn't want to stumble. He didn't want to be delayed. He didn't want anything to slow him down. So he hikes up his robe to the place to where he can, this word run means to swiftly get to the end of what you want to do. He didn't just casually trot. He ran like a race. Legs bearing to anybody that was looking. Man, the father ran. They couldn't run in public. They had to walk gracefully. Couldn't show their legs. But here the father is, having pity and having compassion, and he was compelled to take action, and that action was to run as fast as he could to get to him. Wow. Why was that? Well, in ancient Jewish tradition, there's a tradition called Kaziah, which means cutting off. A Kaziah thing is to cut it off, be done away with, cut it off. That was an ancient transition, ancient tradition. And you begin to see, what is this thing? Most scholars and theologians believe that the prodigal son was most likely going to be faced as a prospect of this tradition. Cut off. What does that mean? It means this, that when the child or whoever it was, but this one was a child that had wasted his inheritance with the Gentiles. This was worthy of Kaziah, a cutting off. It meant that when they saw him return, they would take a clay, I wish I had a clay pot, but I didn't get one, but they would take a clay pot and they would go to him before he came in. They would go to him and they would throw it down at his feet and break the pot, saying, "You are cut off. You're no longer welcome in this community. We have no part of you in this community." So that wasn't a law, but it was a tradition. And it could have happened to the prodigal son. They shunned him. They would have shunned him. They shunned these people that they do this to. They shun them. They turn their backs on them. If they're here and they've broken the pot here, they'll turn their backs and they'll say, "He is no more welcome. He is no more part of us." Telling everybody and not looking at the person that they're doing this to, "He's not welcome among us. He's no more a part of us." Giving them shame, disgrace, ridicule, dishonor. rejection, condemnation, and treated as an outcast. Why do you think the father ran? To beat the pot breakers from getting to him first. If that was going to take place, and it did, they seldom did this in their tradition, but they did it. The father was willing, listen to this, the father was willing to hike his tunic up, show his legs. That was a shame, a disgrace. He ran, and when you see Jesus took our what? Our shame. Our disgrace and our sin. The father was willing to put himself in that and have all the shame be looking at him and not at the son. And to spare the son of the shame and disgrace and ridicule and the shunning and the outcastness and the breaking of the pot for them to do their thing of saying, Listen. The church has its own way of doing. Listen to me. The church has its own way of doing this to some people. We may not have clay pots. We may not have these things that we'll go through as a tradition, but we'll shun people because they've fallen, because they've had a failure in their life, because they've tripped up and they've missed the mark. And also, no, we won't nothing do with you. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. There's people in this church that I know of, and I'm not going to tell on you, that I know of that has come to me and said they have been to 5 churches in this community. And all five of them told them, you don't fit here. You'd be better off going somewhere else. You don't fit in here. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's what this person came and told me. He said, but I didn't have that here. And to be honest with you, they're still here. That's been years ago. Now, see, we can be religious folk and begin to have our own thoughts and minds about something, and we don't want nothing to do with them. They don't have enough money. They're the wrong status. Whatever the reason is, religion does that to people. Not Christ's love. Religion does that to people. So here it is. The father, knowing that this could possibly happen to his son, so he runs. He ran with haste. He ran with speed like he's in a race. Tunic hiked up, legs are showing. He don't mind one bit because he's running to intervene. Listen, taking the shame, taking the disgrace. And what does he do when he runs and he gets there? What does he do? He what? He loves. He has compassion. The Bible says he falls on his neck. That means he hugs him around his neck. Not around it. He hugs him around his neck. Falls on his neck. He hugs him around his neck. And he begins what? To kiss him. You know what the word means? To kiss again, again, and again. Not one time. So you begin to see the compassion. And what he's looking at his son, my son has come home. My son's come home. Shielding him from the disgrace and the ridicule. You begin to see the things that the Father is in the process of doing, and he doesn't ponder about doing them. Because where did the prodigal son come from? What? Say it out loud. Pig pen. He came from a pig pen. Look, he's not well groomed. He's not well showered. He's not cleaned off. He just left a pig pen. Been eating with pigs. Smelling like pigs. Did that slow the father down? No. He ran with great haste, recognizing that's my son. Runs with great haste, swiftly, to get there before the crowd does. To stop all the disgrace. To stop the shame. The shunning. The outcast. The condemnation. His eyes expressed love before his son expressed repentance. He expressed his love before his son said anything. What did he see? He sees it. He's already turned from what he was doing to come home. The father sees that. He expresses his love, his compassion before the son said anything. His eyes of loving kindness was expected him to return. Every time he gazed, it was a loving kindness of God that was looking, saying, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. He's going to come. He's going to come. He's coming. His desire to express his mercy was full and took compassion. His feet and his legs of grace were strengthened to be able to shield his son from all the naysayers and bring him back in restoration with his father. His arms of mercy and tenderness embraced him with acceptance. And then he kissed him. That sealed his pardon. This is my son. So if any of the rest of them are out here looking, thinking they might break a pot or two, they already know it ain't happening with him. It ain't going to happen with him. Because his father is showing his endorsement. His forgiveness, his pardon, and kisses him to seal it in front of everybody. And like I said, that word kiss is to kiss again and again and again. God is looking today for people like you and I. That have had prodigal places in our lives. That he wants us to turn from. Just come to him. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. You say, well, I haven't had riotous living. I haven't done all that like the prodigal son did. It wasn't. What he did, the action, it was the prodigal, it was the without restraint that he was doing. He did what he wanted to do. You can do what you want to do and not be near that bad. But somebody asked me, I don't know, a few weeks ago, someone about said, well, You know, this thing about, when I was talking to them about the prodigal, and they said, well, you know, the thing is prostitutes, righteous living, da, 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 and just start all this kind of stuff. And I said, that's exactly right. And he said, well, we're not that. And I said, I didn't say you were or we were. But let me ask you this. The thing is, which sin won't enter heaven? None of them's going to enter heaven. None of them's going to enter heaven. So what about gossip? What about envy? What about bitterness? Unforgiveness? All those are prodigal situations that are unrestrained by the government of God. That's where we are today. God is calling. God is wanting us to get honest. He's looking. I'm going to play you a video, and it's a song as well. And I want you to think about this. I want you to watch this and think about this. Are there music? You need to start it over. Otherwise, it'd be a silent movie. Let's go back. Go back, please. I love technology. Pause.
Son, do you know I still love you?
I was studying yesterday, and Brenda had to run some errands, and she came back, and what's wrong? I said, I've been studying. She said, I know you've been studying. What's wrong? I said, I've been crying for 20 minutes. Hearing the voice of the Father in the Scriptures talking to me when I remember. I remember that day that He ran to me. Amen. Taking my shame. Taking the humiliation, taking the sin. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to play that again. If y'all can cue it up. He wants you to. He just wants you to come to Him. Come to Him and just give it up. Just give it up. Whatever that area is in your life that is ungoverned by God. Talks about all these things about how great God is and who He is. He talks about the greatness of who He is. Ran. Let Him run to you. Let Him run to you. Come, just come down here. Let Him run to you. Give it to Him. No shame. God bless you. Whatever that thing is that you've been hanging on to that's been bothering you, but God knows all about it. But He's still looking for you. He's still looking for you. Something in your life just not right. He already knows that He's looking for you. He's looking to see if you're going to get out of your seat. See if you're going to come honest with Him and honest with yourself. For Him to be able to take it. And in exchange, give you the gifts that He has for you. He caught me by surprise, and He brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw Him run to me. Turn it up a little bit, Randy. Randy. Feel Him hug you. Feel Him hold you. Feel Him kiss you. Fill him to fill him, seal the pardon of your forgiveness. Your restoration. You know, ladies, don't think it's bad because he says son. The Bible says that we all are sons of God. Ladies, you're sons of God. You're a daughter, but you're sons of God. And that's perfectly fine. You know why? For us men, he calls us the bride of Christ. I'm fine with that. You remember this day, March the 1st, 2026. Another touch by God. The Bible says in John 8:35, said, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. You abide in his house forever. Therefore, whom the Son has set free, he is free indeed. Cannot be taken away. Galatians 4 says this. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir of God through Christ. And one last one in John 15. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. Yeah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry. There's more. There's more. Amen. Come on up. Come on up. God bless you. Give God praise. Give God praise. Before we do announcements, there's one thing I want to do. Could we pause for a minute and pray for the nation? Pray for the president. Pray for Israel. Pray for Iran for their freedom. Could you do that? So just bow your heads right where you are and begin to intercede and to pray. We don't know what's going to happen around, but listen, no matter what happens, he's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Father, we thank you for this country. We thank you for what you've done in this country and how this country has helped other nations. God, we pray for protection. We pray, God, for our president and his cabinet and our leaders. We ask you, Lord, to let them see you and let them hear you Let them follow you. We pray for Israel and for their leaders. We pray for their peace. We pray for their well-being. Pray, God, that you would show yourself to all of Israel who you really are as Lord and Savior. Pray for protection for them. We pray, God, for Iran. We thank you, God, that you are the bringer of freedom. And we ask you in Jesus' name to let freedom begin to have root in that country. Let freedom and let Christ begin to grow in the midst of that country to be blessed of God. Bless our military. Protect them and watch over them. And Lord, give us a heart to follow you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
I want to say to the church, last Sunday, they had to walk my husband out, and it was scary, but y'all's prayers, I don't want you to underestimate the power of your prayers. You busted heaven wide open. There's your evidence that God heard. In Israel today, we busted heaven wide open for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I just want to confirm in your hearts that your prayers are powerful and they are heard and they are meaningful. So don't hold back.
So there's the evidence. There's evidence. Exhibit A, the defense rests, Your Honor.
I can't go around and hug every one of y'all neck and say thank you, but I'm going to send a word out to God. God, I want you to touch every person's life in you by the power of the Holy Spirit, because you have touched my life.
Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Real quick, and we need to lift up the Maxwell family. I was able to confirm it. There's going to be a service for Roger Maxwell. He passed away this week. Carmen confirmed it with us. The service will be held at Second Baptist in Rutherford at 1 p.m. on March 7th. So those who are connected with Roger, he came here for years, and so we want to make sure you all know that and can go celebrate his life, because he lived a great life. Amen. Lived for the Lord. So also we want to bring your attention, Men's Fellowship Breakfast, April 4th. So be aware of that. Sort of save the date that's a little out there, but you want to go ahead and understand that. Women's Brunch Fellowship, Saturday, March 14th, from 10 to 12 in FLC. Please RSVP and register if you need childcare. Okay, if you need childcare, register for that. And lastly, this is sort of an announcement for today. Married couple. Any married couples in here? Any married couple? If you're happy and you're married, raise your hand. If you're happy and you're... All right. And your spouse is watching, so you better raise your hand. We have a marriage retreat we want to invite you to on August the 27th through the 29th in Tennessee. We have a special speaker that will be with us teaching and imparting. But if you want to go, we need to see you right after service in coffee stations to see if you want to attend that, because we do have to send off for reservations, get the facilities and all of that, okay? So if you want to attend, meet us over there in coffee stations right after service. If you can't because you got to go somewhere, make sure you reach out to my wife, Gina, and let her know, okay? How many ate good today? Man, I ate good. Word, man. You know what he told me? The Lord's biased, and he's biased toward us. He has got a bent toward us, you know, and I didn't realize how big of a bent you can have until you're a grandparent. You know, when people say, your kids did this, halftime, I'd believe them. But then they say, hey, the grandbaby did that. I said, well, what did you do? What'd you cause to do that? And I think that's that fatherly love, amen, that the Lord has toward us. So it's been a good day in service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And if you're a new member here, just first time visiting, make sure you visit the pastor at the back. He's got something for you. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to feast on your word. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to be in your presence. And Lord, we are grateful for your people. We don't take this time, this place, and this people for granted. Lord, we want to recognize how good we have it. I thank you for my brothers and sisters I'm with right now in this room. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the pastors of this church. I thank you for the people in this church. And I thank you for giving me the grace and the honor and the favor to be here in this moment, in this time with these people. And we will go out of here declaring your goodness, your word, and your presence in every place we go. And we'll say it's all because of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.